up more about
it. Used to be you could only get a bad hot dog down by the Washington Monument off a food truck.
It's a little different now.
Yeah.
Okay, this is one of my favorite segments. We do this once a year. We get to talk about loving our butts.
I love your butt.
I know.
I do.
You should. Okay, so do you love your butt? You'd better, and not because it looks good, because of all of that workout at Solidcore. Colon health is a real goal for us all, and because colon cancer is a real threat, fortunately for us, we've got Michael Sapienza and the Chris for Life Colon Cancer Foundation. They are out there working really hard for a cure. Now, Michael has been on in years past. Every year, this organization devotes the whole month to doing all these amazing events, including a huge gala. Can I call it a gala?
Sure.
That I am actually emceeing. And Michael's going to tell us
if
all
you're
about...
emceeing, you better know if it's a gala or not.
Well, I don't know. It could be a gala. It could be,
could be a gala.
It could be it could be a cook-off. We could call it whatever we want. But anyway, we're going to find out all about the happenings this month from Michael later on in the show.
I'm going to help your enunciation now because Whiskey Live was last night. It's becoming really a national event where all kinds of great whiskeys are sampled and experts are there to tell you all about them. It was last night at the Grand Hyatt, but the Whiskey Guys are live here today. Live is probably in quotes considering what they went through last night.
They look pretty good. They look like they're in good shape.
Dave Sweet, who's with Whiskey Magazine, is also the Whiskey Live founder, and he's here with Robin Robinson, who's a U.S. brand manager and ambassador for Compass Box Whiskey, Ewan Morgan, who's the national director of Diego Masters of Whiskey, and Gregor Katanik.
Katnick.
Why, I did it right in...
Diageo.
What did I say? Oh, I said Diego. Good Lord, Diageo. You know, I wasn't even at the damned event. Anyways, we're in talking all kinds of whiskeys, and these guys will be with us throughout the show. And Dave, let's start with you, because Whiskey Live, why don't you tell us what happened last night that you're allowed to repeat?
Well, Whiskey Live is a celebration of the water of life of whiskey, and we bring in the brand ambassadors, all the brands from from Diageo.
Yeah, Diageo?
Diageo, who are Bullet and Johnny Walker, Classic Malts, and so on, and Compass Box, which is an independent bottler and blender, to all the different brands. And it's a chance to taste, but most importantly, be educated and coached by the experts who we have with us here today. So that's the big part of it. You learn how to drink whiskey.
Well, why do you need to learn how to drink whiskey? I mean, I think there's been a big change in whiskey's perception. Robin and I were talking about this off air a little bit. You know, when I was younger, whiskey was something my grandfather drank. I mean, my father didn't even touch the stuff. But now
he touched everything else. So.
We don't have to get into my father's history here.
That doesn't sound right. Hey, wait a minute. Whoa. It's even worse. Cause he's,
I'm just going to hold up. Love your butt.
It's even worse because he's a doctor. Oh, my God. All right. I hope you're listening, dude.
But it is really now something that people of all ages are really developing a palate for. What do you attribute that to?
Well, very much so. And whiskey is the drink. And the biggest thing is whiskey is bourbon. It's Scotch whiskey, it's Irish whiskey, it's exotic whiskeys from places like Tasmania and Japan. So whiskey has grown in the types and the flavors and the profiles, but it is just this incredible drink that is enjoying a renaissance. And it's like wine. There is one for everybody. It's just a matter of finding the right one for you.
Well, you guys are going to be with us throughout the show. We want to talk about the different...
Kinds,
the different sort of waves, because Japanese whiskey is considerably different than Irish whiskey and all of that. So what are we going to taste first, though?
Who are we going to talk to first?
Oh. Go ahead, Gregor. Or Ewan, or...
Why don't you come up to the mic?
We have a number of different whiskeys for you to taste today.
Mm-hmm.
We've got some single malt scotch. We've got some... single malt that's been double matured, which we can talk about. We've got some new additions, and we've got a little special treat for you as well.
Are we kicking off with the special treat? Because that is like, I feel like that's starting really, really high.
We can definitely kick off with a special treat.
Okay.
Our special treat that myself and Ewan Morgan brought along is the Johnny Walker Black Label that was actually made in 1967. Well, it was bottled in 1967. So
I think you were bottled in 1967.
I was bottled in 1969. That's Don't get ahead of yourself.
So we get the chance to taste.
I was in a bottle.
All right.
Go ahead, sorry.
You know what?
Star sign Pyrex.
Yeah. Thanks, Jeannie. So yeah, we get to taste a whiskey that was made quite a number of years ago, and experience what the quality of whiskey was like back then.
So, but can I just ask a quick question, and then we do have to move on. So, was that just recently opened last night? I mean, this was
opened during our masterclass last night. Whiskey Live. And we allowed people to try Johnnie Walker Black Label that was bottled this year and compare it to Johnnie Walker Black Label that was bottled in 1967.
Okay,
it was really taking a trip back in history.
When we come back, we will talk more about this and what the complexities are and what we're looking for and the differences between them.
So let's talk to Teddy Folkman, because how many people you think on this earth have beaten Bobby Flay in anything? You went up against Bobby. You went to that throwdown with Bobby Flay.
Yeah.
And you cooked muscles and you kicked his butt, didn't you?
Yeah, that was a long time ago. That was back in 2008.
Well,
wow.
You're adding to your laurels. Just a few days ago, Bar Oak opened.
Yeah, it opened up on Thursday. Amazing.
Well,
let's sort of talk about how you went from, Granville Moors is this tiny little gem of a spot. I mean, how many seats are in Granville Moors?
About 90.
Right. I mean, but it's a...
It's tiny.
It's a narrow space. Do you know what I mean? And you guys pack them in there, and it's always been very successful on H Street in Northeast. I mean, mm-hmm. You were one of the few who started off down there in the very beginning
years ago.
No, he is.
Oh, it's Pirate, not Pirate.
Right. So... Why go out of the city? Why go to Annapolis?
Actually, it was kind of interesting. Somebody you might know, Adam Wojmowski.
Yeah, I know him.
He's actually one of the people who is the landlord at Granville Moors.
Okay.
And him and I became really close friends. We went to a couple ball games together. And
his sister Amy was getting her hair cut next door to me yesterday.
My cousin.
Good cousin.
Adam's my cousin.
And... Adam and I were talking about Granville Moors and if we'd ever do another one.
Mm-hmm,
and I told him that we could never do another Granville Moors because that location is Granville Moors.
Right.
I mean, there's something all that encompasses it. So we actually started shopping up and down the East Coast, what we can do. And, you know, I wanted to do Granville Moors, you know, grande or, you know, like a new one, like what it would be like if I had a kitchen instead of just a little box.
I know, because what is it? It's small. It's like
it's 10 feet by it's the size of this room.
Right. It's tiny, tiny, tiny.
So we were talking about places up to Boston, down to Charleston, South Carolina, and we just basically realized that Annapolis is right in our backyard, and you know it seemed like a great place to open up a neighborhood haunt. And Lowe's Hotels has just been an amazing partner. It's phenomenal. I mean, just being partnered with them, it's ridiculous. So
tell me what did you do for this concept? Because Annapolis is a totally different animal than D.C.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Totally different than 8th Street Northeast, that's for sure. So
it's a little safer.
It's gotten safer over there. No, but...
Unless somebody drinks some whiskey and hits you with their boat.
Did you decide on this concept and what you wanted to do?
Actually, Adam has a relationship with Lowe's Hotels,
mm-hmm.
and they were approaching his company about their hotel and getting a concept in there that was just a little bit different than what they traditionally do with Lowe's. They want to do something more... I don't want to say blue collar, but something just a little bit less,
neighborhood-y.
More neighborhoody and less pretentious.
Right.
And I mean, I feel that, you know, neighborhood thing is my gig. I just like, you know, building a neighborhood spot, going out to the community. And Annapolis is such an awesome community. There's a lot of chefs going, like Jeremy Hoffman from, he worked for Cal Armstrong for a while at Eve. I mean, he's opening Preserve over there.
Right.
So there's an influx of chefs going out there, I think, just to kind of get a little bit away from D.C., but not too far away,
mm-hmm.
and experience a new customer base.
This is a different thing for you, because you've got breakfast, lunch, and dinner 7 days a week.
At brunch,
you've got
brunch and the
weekends. And all that stuff.
In-room dining.
So you sleep standing up?
It makes
up?
Me tired just thinking about it.
I haven't slept in many days. But no, I have a phenomenal staff. I actually, Maria Evans, who used to be the chef de cuisine at Granville's.
Right.
She's amazing. She is. She moved back here from Rhode Island to open this with me.
Okay.
And then Marcus Donovan, who's my sous chef at Granville's for a long time, he came with me also. I grabbed Pat McMonagle. He was with me at Granville's as my beverage director.
Mm-hmm.
And then he went to Birch and Barley for a bunch of years. So you got a little education on there. Yeah, absolutely.
More. I mean, not like you can't get it at Grandpa Moore's.
I heard Michael Babin's gunning for you now. talk about the menu.
Please.
It's cool. It's actually a little bit different than anything I've ever done. I'm actually making desserts now, which is creepy for me.
Creepy?
Well, not creepy, just difficult for me. Not difficult, but just I never had an oven, you know? Granville Moore's doesn't have an oven.
Do you want to take that off so we can see? So what is it? So are you experimenting and having fun?
I mean, I'm experimenting and having fun basically with desserts that I've loved through my childhood. Mm-hmm. You know, we're doing chocolate chip cookies. We're doing, you know, coffee cake, easy stuff, pound cake, muffins. So it's a lot of fun doing that stuff. You know, we're doing a lot of entrees. We have a smoker. So, you know, the smoker that I can actually lie down in or stand up in.
Chicken wing right now, I believe.
Yeah.
So we're experimenting with a bunch of that stuff. We've done.
So who are you? So for this menu, I mean, given you're in a hotel, for the menu, were you looking to really engage the people of Annapolis? Are you looking to just take care of your hotel guests? Like, how were you looking to do it?
We want to position ourselves as an independent restaurant. Just happen to be partners with Lowe's Hotels. So we're really gunning for the neighborhood. That was the crowd we really intended. We actually. Never wanted to put a crab cake or anything crab on the menu because the neighborhood
wasn't hard to do, though. I mean, I know you're inundated with
that. We had to. You got to pick your battles.
Right. and that was one of them.
You know, they want to, I'll give you a crab cake. Okay.
Right.
Sucks that it's one of the best sellers right now on the menu. But, we're really trying to go for both crowds. We want to please the tourists. We want to please the guests of the hotel. We want to please our partners at Lowe's and Street Sense. And, you know, we just really want to make this thing happen. And it was great seeing everybody from the community last night out, talking with them. It's so much fun. One of my buddies, Joe Lyon, who owns 51st State Tavern in D.C., he lives a block away from the hotel, and he's been there every day helping me, not helping out, but supporting me by sitting down at the bar. It's been a really great neighborhood feel, and I feel like that's coming around again.
Well, so we want to talk about the bar because, I mean, you are known for your beers and your expertise in them. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, let's talk about the bar program at Bar Oak.
Thank you.
This is David and Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast. We'll be back in just a sec.
This is Mark Amtower. With lower margins, your limited marketing budget has to work harder than ever. LinkedIn is one of the most robust marketing platforms available. With over 350 million members worldwide, 110 million in the U.S., and 3.1 million members within 50 miles of this station, I guarantee your customers and prospects are here. Connect, influence, motivate, create leads. I can show you how. When you want to maximize the return on your LinkedIn presence, email me at mark@federaldirect.net.
The West Point Society of Washington, D.C., supported by alumni, sponsors, and individuals, is preparing their 8th Annual Leadership and Ethics Conference for D.C. Metro Area 11th graders, March 19th at the George Mason University Arlington campus. Students will learn about this year's theme of What Does Living an Honorable Life Look Like? From members of America's current greatest generation, including ROTC and West Point cadets, as well as recent graduates serving the nation. For more information, search West Point Ethics and Leadership on Facebook.
This is Mark Amtower. With lower margins, your limited marketing budget has to work harder than ever. LinkedIn is one of the most robust marketing platforms available. With over 350 million members worldwide, 110 million in the U.S., and 3.1 million members within 50 miles of this station, I guarantee your customers and prospects are here. Connect, influence, motivate, create leads. I can show you how. When you want to maximize the return on your LinkedIn presence, email me at mark@federaldirect.net.
The Honor Flight Network is a nonprofit organization created solely to honor America's veterans for their service and sacrifice. The charity transports our nation's heroes free of charge from their local airport to Washington, D.C. to visit their war memorials and Arlington National Cemetery. This year, Compass Rose Charities is supporting the Honor Flight Network as their 2015 charity of choice. Help them reach their goal of chartering an entire plane. Sponsor a veteran's flight by donating today. For more information, Google Compass Rose Charities.
Back on Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis, and we're talking to our friend Teddy Folkman.
Late
of Granville Moore's, now at Bar Oak in Annapolis.
But we're getting creative about what to do with whiskey and wings.
Yes.
We're having good ideas here, maybe bringing in the food trucks. We've got a lot of creativity going on in studio.
You know, creative. You drink the whiskey, eat the wings. Big deal.
You're
so
boring.
Talk about the bar.
Oh, gosh. The bar is gorgeous. Basically, with this restaurant, the old restaurant had a small bar and a large dining area, and we basically busted that all out and made half the inside a bar, bar seating, at least. We have about 60 beers by the bottle. Of course, 50 of them are Belgian. It's kind of, you know, my love. And then 14 beers on draft. And then our cocktail program is actually kind of cool. It's just very traditional cocktails with heavy pours. I know it sounds weird. We're not doing any infused vodkas, bubblegum foam type thing. It's like a solid Sazerac, a traditional Mai Tai, but just done properly and treated with a lot of respect. and the wine list, I'm not familiar with wines usually. That's not my thing. My partner Adam in this, his love of wines, he wants to expand the list to have 40 reds, 40 whites, and then probably 10 each by the glass.
Okay.
So it's going to be, it's full. It's not just beer and cocktails now. It's also a lot of wine. So I got to get back into that.
Well, as far as your beers go, I mean, are you working with a lot of the Maryland beer community?
Absolutely.
Like, who are you working with?
We're working with the same people that we use for Granville Moores.
Okay.
It took a little time to get everybody into the system because a lot of those beers have never shown up in Anne Arundel County ever.
Oh, is that amazing?
One of the beers, Erdvel's Vit, between Granville's and Bar Oak, I think we have about 90 to 95% of all the Erdvel's coming into the East Coast. So that's a cool beer also. It's, you know, one of those only you can only find here type things.
Okay.
You know, it's working with our relationships, Rob Todd from Allagash, Brewery Omegang. You know, we're really still working with all those guys, getting beer dinners started. And of course I gotta play with, you know, my guys from DC.
Right.
I mean, every one of them, you know, Atlas and DC Brow and Three Stars, and you know, it's just, it's so much fun. And
it's such
the whole,
a good crew.
This
it's
place
such
sounds, awesome. This place cool. sounds too Tony for Dave Coleman, though.
No.
He came.
In his shorts
in the winter.
In his shorts and without a hat this time.
There's something wrong with him. I don't know. He's impervious.
Dave Coleman somehow gets mentioned on every food interview show. I just don't know how that happened.
He paid me $20 to say his name.
All right, so I'm going to pay you nothing to tell everybody where the restaurant is and where they can find it on the web.
Yeah, thanks. The restaurant's at 126 West Street in Annapolis, inside the Lowe's Hotel. And they can see us at www.baroqueannapolis.com.
All right, Teddy, good luck.
Thank you, guys. Thank you for having me.
All right,
exciting.
So as we mentioned, we're going to go back and do some whiskey stuff. Dave Sweet brought in a bunch of folks with him. Robin Robinson, step up to the mic.
Wait, before we go to Robin, I don't want to take that away from you, but can we just talk about this whiskey that you poured, the 1967 Johnny Walker Black? I mean, what should we be looking for here, and what did you, since we're not comparing it this morning, I mean, what are the differences between this 1967 pour and, say, something from today?
So what you're really going to be looking for is the DNA of Johnny Walker. So mm-hmm. if you taste a Black Label today, you're still going to pull out the DNA of what essentially makes Johnny Walker Black Label. So you're looking for that smokiness and that rich fruit which should come through from it. So I'm going to take you through a very, very brief tasting of how to taste whiskey. Are you ready?
Yep, make it fast.
Okay, so first of all, you have a smell.
Yep.
So get your nose,
put
don't
your
shove
face
it in there.
The
move it from nostril to nostril. Then what you want to do is take a small sip, hold it on the middle of your tongue. So everybody do that, and then I will tell you what to do. Tilt your heads back so your tongue is flat. Tilt your head gently from side to side. Wash the whole back of your palate. Head forward so it sits at the tip of your tongue.
Oh, wait,
and when
I already,
it prickles.
Swallowed. Hold on.
There's so many jokes there.
Yes.
And once you move your head forward, it will start to prickle. And when it does, squirt up into the bridge of your mouth and let it trickle under your tongue. It's going to give you the whole forward palate of this whiskey. And then swallow.
Woo.
Once you've swallowed,
so,
and they'll finish, draw air in over your tongue, close your mouth, breathe out through both nostrils for as long as you can. This process is called retronasal olfaction, and that's the proper way to taste whiskey.
Good Lord.
Every
so you're
time.
Wait. You're right, saying that in the cowboy movies, the guys that just took the glass of whiskey and shot it were doing it wrong. Okay.
they were doing it
cowboys.
Right for, their,
but
for
we
themselves.
We are talking about the initial sip, not like every sip.
No, I wouldn't suggest doing this in a bar. You would end up in a lunatic asylum. But if you're going to spend some time
would
at home,
you up,
if you're going to spend some time at home with something you've spent a large amount of money on, and this bottle here would probably set you back about $400,
mm-hmm.
then you really want to get everything that's inherent
I
in that
like
spirit and really enjoy it.
That's
for
a,
everything.
That's a lot of work.
All right, let's go quickly to Robin.
Robin, tell us about Compass Box and what. You know, each one of these brands of whiskey has something that differentiates it from the others. What is it about Compass Box that's different?
Well, we're a small production crafted Scotch whiskey maker. We kind of harken back to the early days of Scotch whiskey back in the 19th century when guys like John Walker, who, you know, progenitor of Johnny Walker, John Dewar, were crafting, you know, overproofed and spirit that was essentially Highland moonshine. Mm-hmm. And they crafted these together and used various methods of blending and then eventually aging in order to craft a product that we now know as Scotch whiskey mm-hmm. that became, you know, sort of like the foundation of the entire industry. So we're sort of reaching back to those kind of small production artisan approaches to doing this. So we have a little bit of a different approach in how we blend and how we look at the whiskey, on how we evaluate the whiskey, and essentially what ends up in the bottle. It's a little bit more of a, you know, sort of like a nod to the 19th century and a look forward into the 21st century. We're impacted by flavor. Number one, above everything else, flavor is king. So how we find the spirits, how we select them, how we blend them together, what we choose and what we don't choose is really all about how do you maximize flavor? How do you make the whiskey completely accessible without dumbing it down? And that's sort of a fine line, right? And then how do you bring balance to it? And those are the three sort of approaches that we take when we put whiskey
together.
Well,
let me ask you a question. In a second, we're going to have to pour and taste, and then we'll talk about it when we come back. But what does dumbing down a whiskey mean?
Oh, that's a great question. Dumbing down a whiskey is actually it's a marketing thing that you see happen in a lot of places. It's taking the essence. I mean, what Ewan spoke about is kind of like the DNA of a whiskey, for example. It's taking the essence of really what the spirit is and then target marketing that to specific demographics, you know. So, for example,
it's like Budweiser versus craft beers.
You said that. I didn't. But also even kind of narrow casting it as well, which is and there's a big enormous controversy inside of the industry right now about the idea of flavored whiskeys, and where does that sit? Should it sit there? Is it a passing fad? Are we going to end up getting
pro it or against it?
That's a interesting question.
Well, we're going to hold that question because we're going to move on. So what are you going to pour for us?
Okay, we are going to have something. A little bit along the lines of what we just had here with Johnny Walker Black.
Okay.
This is called Great King Street Glasgow Blend. And Great King Street is one of our brands that's dedicated just to blended Scotch whiskey.
Mm-hmm.
One thing to know about blended Scotch whiskey, it is a combination of two different types, you know, a grain and malt. This has a nice smokiness to it, very much in the style of how they used to drink it in Glasgow in the 19th century. I'm going to just take the bottle and just have you, unfortunately, have to dump it.
Yeah.
And then we're going to just pass this, and we'll pass it up and down. You guys can pour.
And while we're doing that, let's start talking food trucks.
Hey, Che.
Hey, Che. Che Rudell Tebasola is the executive director of the DMV Food Truck Association, and we're in talking about a lot of things, including their first-ever Capital City Food Truck Convention. Che, a couple of years ago, there really wasn't such a thing as a certainly not a gourmet food truck. There were those things down, as I said before, by the monument where you could get a bad hot dog and a Coke, and that was about it in terms of food trucks. And now we've got this explosion where almost every kind of cuisine is available on four wheels. But why do you need a food truck association? What's the value or the purpose of that to the owners?
That's a great question. You know, one of the things the Food Truck Association does more than anything else is we do a lot of regulatory and legislative representation. Just for example, in Virginia, we had a major legislative victory. In Virginia, there's a law in the books that prohibits vending on any state-maintained road or street. And so if VDOT is plowing the snow, there's no food trucks. And we just passed a bill in the state legislature 2 weeks ago instructing VDOT to rewrite those regulations. And so what we've been able to do is create more vending opportunities for our members.
Well, let's back up a little bit. I mean, you started off with your own food truck, right?
That's right. Yeah, I'm co-owned Barbecue Bus with my husband, Tad.
Right. And then so how did you go from owning a food truck to this sort of position? I mean, it's
becoming a labor organizer.
I mean, really, you're really doing a lot.
One of the interesting things about the food truck owners in D.C. is we have a lot of ex-professionals. We have folks who are former lawyers, consultants, policy analysts, economists. My background is in politics. You know, one of the things about the industry that I love, it provides a second or third career for folks who said, I've always wanted to open my own business. I can't get a loan for $500,000 from the bank, but, you know, I can start my own truck and be a business owner in my community and hire employees for much less.
And so then you started your truck, but then how did you start this association?
No. There was 17 of us who started
back in the day.
Always been a volunteer leader.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened is a couple years ago, we arrived at the end of a long regulatory controversy in D.C. And at that point, we talked with each other and said, do we pack up, mission accomplished, or do we become something else? And we decided for the latter. And so in addition to our advocacy work, we're expanding into education.
Mm-hmm.
And the convention's probably the grandest example of that.
Well, why don't we talk about that? I mean, what is this convention, and what are you trying to get across in it?
So if you love food trucks, if you have ever thought, gee, I need to start my own food truck,
mm-hmm.
this is the show for you.
Mm-hmm.
It's a full-day convention at the 1E Distillery, actually, in Northeast D.C., because where else, what better place to have a food truck convention than at a local whiskey, vodka, and gin distillery.
Right, and they're new.
Open about 6 weeks.
Right, they just opened up.
And so we have a full day of workshops. We have the basic, how do I start a food truck, but some really sort of food truck 202 type of courses, how to find funding, for example. And on that panel, we'll have both traditional lenders like the SBA and Eagle Bank, but also all the growing alternative lending sources.
Kickstarters.
Like Kiva Zip, which is similar to Kickstarter, but the donors actually get paid back. Latino Enterprise Development Corporation.
Mm-hmm.
So all these lenders for folks who say, how do I grow my business?
Mm-hmm.
We'll have a panel about how do I open a brick and mortar, which is actually going to be moderated
Meaning
by...
Meaning like how do you go from a food truck to a brick and mortar?
That's
how do you make that transition?
That's right. We have about 20 food trucks now that have gone from a food truck to a brick and mortar.
That's true.
And then what's interesting, we have about 20 brick and mortars that have gone on to open food trucks too, which is a really exciting thing.
It is a great extension. I mean, if you think about it, if you have a brick and mortar but you're looking to reach a larger audience, if your kitchen can do it, it makes sense to bring it to a total another area where you're not.
Oh, sure. I mean, being mobile, you can bring your food everywhere.
Right.
It's one of the most exciting things.
All right. So Food Truck Friends, tell me about that.
That's a second
is that
program.
A publication on and offline?
No, it's another program that we're doing to bring in folks who love food trucks or want to open a food truck. And if you're interested, for $25 a year, you get a free logo tee with our new logo.
Which looks really good on you.
Appreciate that. Actually, a food truck fan made this logo.
Could
for
you
us
wear
last
something
year.
Like that when you were in politics?
Whenever you go campaigning, actually, you're always wearing the T-shirt.
That's right.
And then you get newsletters, you get discounts. Food Truck Friends actually get $30 off the discount off the registration for the convention.
Okay.
And actually, if you join for $12 a month, you get everything from a private cooking class with your favorite food truck chef, or you can do a celebrity shift and spend a day on a food truck.
Oh, wait, I want to talk more about that. We have to take a quick break.
Sure.
This is David and Nikki Nellis for Foodie and the Beast. We'll be back in just a minute.
This is Mark Amtower. With lower margins, your limited marketing budget has to work harder than ever. LinkedIn is one of the most robust marketing platforms available. With over 350 million members worldwide, 110 million in the U.S., and 3.1 million members within 50 miles of this station, I guarantee your customers and prospects are here. Connect, influence, motivate, create leads. I can show you how. When you want to maximize the return on your LinkedIn presence, email me at mark@federaldirect.net.
Hey, Mom, why is the sky blue? Why don't animals talk? Why do dogs have wet noses? Why is an 11 pronounced 1T1?
Kids ask a lot of questions.
Why do I have a belly button?
But you don't have to know every answer.
Why is the ocean salty?
Because you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent.
Why are there 50 states?
There are thousands of children in foster care who don't need every question answered.
Why is pizza round?
They just need you. For more information on how you can adopt, go to AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
This is Mark Amtower. With lower margins, your limited marketing budget has to work harder than ever. LinkedIn is one of the most robust marketing platforms available. With over 350 million members worldwide, 110 million in the U.S., and 3.1 million members within 50 miles of this station, I guarantee your customers and prospects are here. Connect, influence, motivate, create leads. I can show you how. When you want to maximize the return on your LinkedIn presence, email me at mark@federaldirect.net.
In the small town of Elmira, New York, a boy was born into an all-American family. The odds of him achieving his dream in the fashion industry? 1 in 23 million. The odds of having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 68. I am Tommy Hilfiger, and my family is affected by autism. Learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Hey, we're back on Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. We're talking to Che Riddell Tabasolo, who's the executive director of the DMV Food Truck Association. But when you get right down to it and you make a decision to, like, I want to have a food truck, give us kind of a 90-second overview of what that process involves, because it can't be that easy.
No, it's not. You know, and I'll sort of share our own story with Barbecue Bus. And Barbecue Bus was really Tad's baby. A few years ago, he was working in program software management, decided, you know, I really want to get working with food. He grew up cooking in his grandfather's restaurant. So we started going to culinary school on nights and weekends. And this was 2008, 2009, and nobody was lending. You know, when we went to the bank, we got turned down for two loans. We got turned down for a bunch of credit cards. What did we do? Our original idea was we wanted to do a brick-and-mortar butcher shop in DuPont Circle that also sold sandwiches. And by that point, the first food truck in D.C., Fajol Brothers, had opened, and I was a big fan. And so we thought, well, maybe we can make this work with a food truck. So we were able to open our truck up for about $98,000 by opening day. And just last year, we expanded into the Denizens Brewery, brewing company in Silver Spring. So it's excellent beer, and it's a great brew pub, and we run the restaurant out of there.
But when you got into it, because you have this dream of what it's, or this kind of concept of what it's going to be like, how different was the reality from the perception?
How different was it? What do you think, Teddy?
Where did you start? you're starting your food truck, where do I start?
But I think what you said is interesting, though, because the food truck trend did explode because of the downturn in the economy. It gave people this option who wanted to get into, whether it was craft artisan foods or something of that nature, it gave them an easier
or coffee or whatever
access.
Yeah. When you talk about why do we have the modern food truck movement, it's about market demand, but it's two separate markets. Yes, you had a lot of aspiring restaurateurs, chefs who wanted to go out on their own, restaurant lifers who were ready to do their own thing, but they just couldn't get the funding. And the food trucks presented an opportunity for aspiring entrepreneurs. At the same time, you had a market, despite the downturn in the economy, that wanted novel, innovative food that's growing weary of chains. And
wasn't also a fortune. I mean, you didn't have the... Yeah. Because you didn't have a brick and mortar, you weren't paying for this large overhead. Mm-hmm. So you didn't have to pay $20 for lunch. You could pay $10 for lunch.
And get a good lunch.
Mm-hmm. And get something really
good. All right. So let's hit the convention. The Capital City Food Truck Convention is Sunday, April 19th at the new 1-8 Distilling. Tell everybody how they can get tickets and information.
Find all the information on our website, which is www.dmvfta.org. I encourage everyone to check it out. It's going to be a great program. I mentioned the Fajol Brothers. They're now closed, but we're actually giving an award to Justin Vitarello, the founder.
Oh, really?
During the convention, he's receiving the Visionary Award. So it's going to
They were really fun when they started.
No, even pioneers.
You know, with the costumes and the music and everything. They were great.
It's going to be a great program, and I encourage everyone. Ever thought about opening a food truck or want to learn how to grow your current food truck business to check it out?
All right, cool. All right, Shane, good luck. Thanks. So let's go back to Robin. Let's talk about this whiskey.
So,
Ewan's classic way. That takes about 4 minutes.
Yeah, that's the...
Wait. I smelled it with both nostrils. I've got it in the middle of my tongue.
This is a blended scotch, right? And blended scotch whiskey is the backbone. It's what the scotch whiskey industry is really all about.
It's like an alternative fuel.
It's so yummy.
Well, it's a little bit. It's again made in a very old way. We call it Glasgow blend.
Yeah, I made the whiskey guys laugh silently, but they're laughing.
Yeah.
There's got to be more to that.
About what?
The alternate fuel. There's got to be. More.
Well, it depends what the inside joke.
All right, so, Gregor, why don't you step back up for a second, and let's talk about Diageo's special approach to... First of all, how many different brands of whiskeys and scotch and bourbons and all of that do you guys run?
A lot. Yeah, quite a few. We work with a portfolio of lots of different types of whiskey.
Diageo's global, aren't they?
Yeah, it's the biggest drinks company in the world. But in Scotland, for example, we have 28 malt distilleries, single malt distilleries, some that we market and sell as single malts. Other distilleries produce for the blenders like Johnny Walker. So really what we have is a huge selection of different, different types of flavor, style of malt whiskey, of grain whiskey, of blended scotch that we can start to build up our portfolio depending on consumer demand, depending what our whiskey drinkers are looking for.
There's been such an explosion of these offerings out there. I mean, when you now go into a bar where there used to just be maybe Johnny Walker or Bullet or just one or two, now there's... I mean, there are whole walls dedicated.
Well, now you've got whiskey bars.
I mean, right. Well, there are whiskey bars. But, I mean, is this because of demand, or were these all there and now people are asking for
them? This is a new trend. People are becoming more and more interested in brown liquor.
Mm-hmm.
Bourbons, yeah, you know, we have Bullet bourbon. We mm-hmm. have Bullet Rye as
right.
well, which Tom Bullet introduced because bartenders were looking for a rye alternative to his bourbon.
Mm-hmm.
We have a very small distillery in Tennessee. We've got Dickel, which is doing great. It's a tiny distillery. It's all about being handmade. We work on the distillery to learn the craft, and it's working with the guys, and it's all hands-on approach there.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Canadian Crown Royal, and then we have our single malts, the classic malt selection. We have the big blends. We have a huge, huge portfolio, but you have to remember that there's the personal touch.
Mm-hmm.
Jim Beveridge is our master blender for Johnny Walker.
What's his name?
Jim Beveridge. Quite a suit.
His name is Beveridge.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Quite a suiting name for the industry that he's in. But he's a very well respected blender. He's an artist in his own right,
mm-hmm.
Crafting these blends and keeping the consistency. And then the people on the distilleries, they're real people. This is not just a big company. It's a big company that's the umbrella, but it's real people making great whiskey,
mm-hmm.
and very proud of it. My father, he was a master distiller.
Okay.
Ewan's father, he was a master distiller. My father and Ewan's uncle came to the States back in the late 80s to promote Scotch whiskey.
Hmm.
You know, this is a personal connection, real people making great whiskey. You know, the whiskeys here that we've got, the other single malts, Oban. We've been to Oban Distillery. It's a very small distillery on the west coast of Scotland. We've served time there working with the people, understanding the quality aspects of making that malt whiskey. We've got Mortlach from Speyside.
Mm-hmm.
It's from Dufftown. Not many people know of Mortlach.
We're going to have to jump in. You know what? Do you want to try giving us a taste of the Oban? Or the...
Oh, the Mortlach. Actually,
okay.
That was it.
Yeah. Let's do it. When I hear you speak, I realize what a huge success Prohibition was here in the U.S.
Thank you, really. Prohibition.
March on, ladies. March on. All right, so we're going to turn to a different subject, and that is a focus on the butt. Is that fair?
The tushy.
So Michael Sapienza is a returning guest. He is with the Christopher. He's the founder of the Christopher Life Colon Cancer Foundation. National Colorectal Cancer Awareness Month is March. There's a lot going on, and we love having Michael in here because he brings us down to earth. And yes, I've had my colonoscopy.
How many of them?
I had.
He gets. Are you kidding? He gets them all the time.
I love it. They go up there. They found keys. They found a rental property. It was everything.
I
get it regularly because I had nodes. They took them off. They were precancerous, but not cancerous. And you know, now I get checked.
So you get checked every what? Three years? 5 years?
No. Well, now it's every. It's probably going to be every 3 years.
Okay.
I got to go back in 6 more months.
Okay.
But I mean, yeah. You know,
yeah.
It's a fact of life. And who wants butt cancer? Not
right.
I. So why don't you talk about the motivation for founding Christopher Life and some of your activities, and we can get into what's going on.
The trivia. You're
sure.
going to try to stump us.
Well, sure. Oh, we're doing that again. That's
yeah.
awesome. Yeah, so Christopher Life was founded in memory of my mom, who
mm-hmm.
actually died on Mother's Day in 2009 from colon cancer. we actually, Christopher Life, will actually celebrate our 5-year anniversary. We're now the second largest colon cancer advocacy organization in the country, which is kind of unbelievable.
It's amazing what leads you down a path, isn't it?
Yeah. So I used to be a professional trumpet player. I don't know if you guys actually knew that, but I was playing in the New World Symphony in Miami Beach and performing. And my mom got sick and moved home about 2 months before she died, and probably about 3 months after that, we started the organization. So. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of unbelievable, really.
Life-changing.
Yeah, totally life-changing. So, and here we are now, Colon Cancer Awareness Month, and we have, you know, a bunch of activities that were coming up. But the main one I think we're here to talk about is the Eat for Life event,
mm-hmm.
Which Nikki is going to MC. It is a chef.
I'm really looking forward to it.
A chef cook-off that takes place on March 31st at Longview Gallery. Scott Druneau, our winner, is returning again from...
Wait, I have to interrupt you. I mean, Longview Gallery is such a gorgeous spot. I mean, you have to give it.
It's
fair
beautiful.
Due. It's so pretty. It's such a beautiful place to hold an event.
Yeah.
You realize with Nikki as your MC, you won't get a word in.
Well, that's
no,
fine with
kidding?
Me.
He's got a lot more to say that's of interest.
That's,
I'm just guiding people to what's happening. As I'm the Vanna White of the show.
Yeah,
I'd like to buy an A. Okay, well, let's talk about the event. And sure. you've got Druneau who signed up, but you've got a lot of other great chefs who are coming.
Mm-hmm.
Give us the overview.
So we have Tyler Schofield from Nene's Noodle and Dumpling Bar. We have Patrick Robinson from Table DC, Eric Giron from Cryos Mexican, Carlos Gonzalez from Taco Bamba, Matt Baker from City Perch, and Enrique Ayala from Cyan DuPont for Silver Spring.
And how's the event going to play? Is it just a walk around and people walk around? How's it going
to work? Yeah, absolutely. So basically what happens is the chefs get a bunch of ingredients that are quote-unquote colon-friendly. We try to make them as colon-friendly as possible.
What does that mean exactly?
It means we're probably not going to have a bunch of red meat and processed foods. So, you know, lean meats, some seafood, fruits and vegetables, some fiber, obviously anything that has...
Like legumes.
Legumes.
Mm-hmm.
And then all the guests basically get to try these bites.
Okay.
And then they get to vote on their favorite dish. And then I think it's the most colon-friendly dish, too. Mm-hmm. So it's their favorite and then the most colon-friendly.
I know.
Well, that's the whole point of the event. It's
okay,
so that people get educated.
No, I was talking to my butt.
How quickly do I go to the bathroom?
Yeah, that's right.
No, but I think
what's that flushing sound I hear?
You're trying to educate people on how to eat well for their overall digestion and their health.
Absolutely. I mean, so colon cancer is the second leading cause of cancer-related deaths in the United States behind lung cancer. And, you know, a lot of it does have to do with prevention. So, I mean, we're laughing, and I think that's the whole point of the Love Your Butt campaign.
Well, but it's not funny because it's scary as all get out when the doctor comes and says – I mean, when he said to me, well, we took out some things, that, you know, and we have sent them off for a test, and they came back as precancerous. I was like, am I going away?
And it's like, up that life insurance just a little bit,
please.
That's
what she said. I'm the only one person applauding. My wife's in the background going, yeah,
let's
baby.
Let's just up it a little bit.
That's right. Yeah. I'm going to be a millionaire.
I've got college to pay for.
Well, we're going to come back and talk to you because I think we should do some of the trivia, too.
Awesome.
Absolutely.
Let's
and I want to talk about some of the other events you're doing. It's a huge month. All right. This is David and Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast. We'll be back in just 2 minutes.
This is Mark Amtower. With lower margins, your limited marketing budget has to work harder than ever. LinkedIn is one of the most robust marketing platforms available. With over 350 million members worldwide, 110 million in the U.S., and 3.1 million members within 50 miles of this station, I guarantee your customers and prospects are here. Connect, influence, motivate, create leads. I can show you how. When you want to maximize the return on your LinkedIn presence, email me at mark@federaldirect.net.
Okay, so 5 tacos of cheese and a large soda, that's $10,012. Please drive around.
$10,000 what?
It's obvious you're buzzed and driving.
I've only had a few. I'm fine.
Yeah, the food's $12, but getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Please drive around. Actually, just park and come in.
Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
This is Mark Amtower. With lower margins, your limited marketing budget has to work harder than ever. LinkedIn is one of the most robust marketing platforms available. With over 350 million members worldwide, 110 million in the U.S., and 3.1 million members within 50 miles of this station, I guarantee your customers and prospects are here. Connect, influence, motivate, create leads. I can show you how. When you want to maximize the return on your LinkedIn presence, email me at mark@federaldirect.net.
Every day I wake up at 5 to give Dad his medicine. Every day I wake up at 5 to give Dad his medicine. At 6, I make his breakfast. Every day I wake up at 5 to give Dad his medicine. At 6, I make his breakfast. At 7, I shower. Every day I wake up
at 5. For those caring for a loved one, we hear you. That's why AARP created a community to help us better care for ourselves and the ones we love. Visit aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
We're back on Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. Before we get back to Michael Sapienza, I just want to thank the folks that support the show and make it possible. Our friends at Georgetown Bagelry, Neighborhood Restaurant Group, which is the Two Rusticos, and Evening Star, Tallulah, Vermilion, Buzz Bakery.
Perch Key, Birch and Barley.
Yeah, what else?
Evening Star.
Michael Babbitt, stop opening restaurants. You're killing me.
Oh, and they just opened up to AMP this weekend.
And AMP, right?
This weekend.
Okay, Mandarin Oriental Hotel, the Gaylord. Our friends at the Gaylord, very nice people. Mm-hmm. Hyatt Regency Chesapeake Bay, the American Land Board, and the Virginia Wine Board.
Mm-hmm.
So back to Michael and Chris for life. Let's do a couple of quick trivia questions and see if anybody in this room knows anything about butts.
All right, okay. Dave and Nikki, let's see. So true or false, colon cancer is an old white man's disease?
False.
Well, it's false.
So just so you know.
As an old white man.
So unfortunately, it does affect men and women equally in the United States. So I think that's important to know. Which food ingredients are colon friendly and good for your gut? Let's see: A. Fruits. B. Beans. C. Turmeric. D. Lean meat and fish.
All the above.
Good. So I mentioned before, it's mainly red meat, processed meats to limit. I mean, it's not no red meats, no processed meats.
Course.
It's just,
everything is moderation.
Reduce that. And let's see if I can stump you. I don't know. How many people are living with this disease currently in the United States? A, 2 million. B, 500,000. C, 1.2 million.
2 million.
C, 1.2 million.
Okay.
So
when you say living with the disease, are there ways... Once you are diagnosed with the disease, are there, other than traditional chemo and radiation, are people living longer with the disease thanks to the work that you're doing?
They are, absolutely. I mean, there have been advances in research. You know, we still need to make way more advances in research. But, if there is anybody out there that has been diagnosed, they should visit chrisforlife.org because we have tons of resources and education for patients.
Nationally?
Nationally,
okay.
Yeah.
And what's the one thing that every adult 40 and over should do with regularity?
Colonoscopy or screening? And Dave, it's 50 or older. If you have a family history, it's 40 or over.
Okay.
So starting at 50, unless you're African American.
Well, since 40, I'm over both of them.
45. Yeah, so that is important to note. I mean, it's screening starting at age 50, unless you're African American, 45. If you have a family history, 40.
Mm-hmm.
And then, what I was asking you, when do you have to go back to get your next screening? And that's really important to note because some people go and get that first one, but then they don't ever go back, and that's when they get in trouble.
Oh, I've had a million of them.
Yeah,
so
who
much
loves
fun.
It? So,
yeah. Little party.
So you have events going on all month. Just quickly tell us about some of the other things, and then we want to tell everybody how they can see us on the 31st.
Sure, absolutely. So we actually just launched Colon Cancer Awareness Month on the Today Show on Sunday, which was awesome. We had an event on Tuesday with Carmen Malcolvo. This Tuesday we have an event coming up at, what's it called, Anchor Orange?
Orange Anchor,
excuse me,
it's okay.
On the Georgetown waterfront. So that's Tuesday evening. And then our largest event of the month is our Scope It Out 5K,
mm-hmm.
which is March 22nd on Freedom Plaza. We'll welcome probably around 4,000 people from across the country. And then we have our awesome Eat for Life event on the 31st.
Fantastic.
So chock full month. Okay.
Yes.
Website where they can find all the information and find out more about colon cancer health.
Sure, chrisforlife.org. Or you can visit loveyourbutt.org, too, if you want.
Great.
Or you can visit lovemybutt.org.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Michael. So let's go back to Ewan and you guys. You were just talking about single malts, double malts, malted malts.
I think what I'd love to get into, because Robin brought this up earlier in the conversation, was flavored whiskeys and where you stand on them and why. And I thought initially that the reason why you were doing it is because flavored whiskeys would be sweeter, and therefore you were trying to get the women to drink it. It seems like a way to feminize whiskey a little bit. Am I wrong or right?
We take it from a non-brand specific. No, the target is actually a little bit younger crowd, but also cocktails. And the bottom line is the people that introduce consumers to whiskeys the most are bartenders,
mm-hmm.
and restaurateurs. And the bottom line is that there are some brilliant cocktails coming out of the flavored whiskeys, but it's also a younger crowd, somebody the way to introduce them to the category, to the brand.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a little bit of everything. But to be honest, there's a lot of experienced whiskey drinkers, myself included, that there are times when you just want something different. So you can stay in the category, but have something different. Maybe
so you're
a
not a purist.
No, not at all.
So just let me jump in there because there's two sides of that story, and they both have legitimacy to it.
Mm-hmm.
One is this whole why not? I mean, really, why the hell not?
Yeah, if the money's there.
The other part of it is, well, if you're going to do it, then actually do it really right.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now, there's a flavor that's currently rampant in the spirits industry. I'm not going to say what the flavor is because everyone's going to know what it is, but it's rampant. It's out there, and it appeared in everything.
Mm-hmm.
This one flavoring appeared in whiskey. I went to a whiskey show and our spirit show, and everything had this flavor on everyone's table. Had it right?
Strawberry?
And, no,
apple.
Huh? No. Not even maple.
Apple?
It's cinnamon. It's cinnamon. Yeah, I mean everything was cinnamon.
Oh,
it was insane.
Fascinating.
Now, what happens then is that maybe there's one guy out there that's really putting together this beautiful thing. There's another one. Ginger's another one, which is really kind of like hitting a. There are some products out there, typically small and handcrafted, that are just awesome, and they represent that flavor category gorgeously, right? And then there's everything else. And then there's the dilution, and then what happens is then we lose the whole idea of actually drinking that, and we end up hating it. It's like that one song you hear on the radio all the time, I can't hear it anymore.
Right.
And that's typically what happens. So that's just part of commerce. There's, that's just, copy and repeat, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, from a restaurateur's perspective, right, you get a great concept, right? And the great concept is like, bang, and then all of a sudden it just gets spread out and you see the dilution, Now, that happens naturally, but we're seeing that. We're seeing that happen with flavors now. There's some really wonderful ones in each of the categories, and then you've got the rest.
Okay.
And then it becomes a different story.
Well, so you brought up, Dave, mixing cocktails and the cocktail world is enormous. We've had some of the best, mixologists here in studio shaking it up. But when you pour these kinds of spirits here in studio, I don't think, oh, I want this in a cocktail. I feel like that would ruin it. It'd be like pouring Dom Perignon and putting orange juice in it. I mean, you would not make any of these into a cocktail, right?
No, that's actually with the cocktail revolution, you go to any real premium. You go to Jack Rose right now, they will make a premium cocktail with a single malt.
Okay.
And, cocktail bars in San Francisco, that'll take a Lagavulin and make this smoky, rich cocktail. I mean, these are premium. These are $20-$25 cocktails.
Right. Okay.
Absolutely. And, the only wrong way to drink whiskey is to not drink it.
Did you just say a $25 cocktail?
Not what my husband is paying for.
Oh, absolutely.
Give me some Thunderbird.
We have about 2 more minutes. So tell us, you've got all those bottles there. What's one that we haven't tried that you want to...
Can I jump in here?
Yeah, of course, please.
So in front of us, you guys should have what we have here, which is the Mortlach 18.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish your listeners could see just how beautiful this bottle is.
It is beautiful.
And this is a Speyside single malt. So I'm going to explain to folks, because we get asked this a lot, what is the difference between a blended whiskey, blended scotch, and a single malt whiskey?
Okay.
And the answer is fairly simple. A single malt whiskey is a product of one distillery. So in this case, it's Mortlach Distillery from the Speyside area, only made with 100% malted barley in a pot still, so small batches at time after time.
Mm-hmm.
Your blended whiskey is where you will take many different styles of whiskies from different single malts with the addition of grain whiskey. And grain whiskey, if you imagine you're making a soup, you start off with a stock. Well, your grain whiskey would be your stock, and then your single malts would be like your carrot and onion, and they build up the flavor profile. So with this case, we're looking at a wonderful example of a single malt, and I would encourage you all to spend a little bit of time on this one because this has a large influence of European wood in here.
Mm-hmm.
So what I mean by that is it's had sherry in it before, and if you're looking at a sherry matured whiskey, you're looking at more fruit. You're also going to get a little bit more of that kind of toffee, butterscotch notes coming through here. But there is a little bit of ex-bourbon in here as well, so you'll get wonderful vanilla notes and sweetness which will come through
from here.
And I hope you've all had a chance to try it because this
beautiful.
Is one of my favorite whiskeys.
Right. Dave, I want to throw it back to you because we do have to wrap up. So if for those who sadly missed Whiskey Live in D.C. this year, where else are you guys going to be and how can people stay in touch with what you're doing?
On the East Coast, we'll be in Boston, but not till this fall. Los Angeles again this fall. We do New York at the just last week. So we do New York at the end of February, and we'll be back here in D.C. again next year. And the big thing about it is, there's 7 different whiskeys here on the table. Even with a decade in the industry, I go to every one of my events and taste something new.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something you can't, it would cost you a fortune and take you forever to do at any bar. And you can just go and get coached by the experts, but taste something you've never had before. And that's what it's about, finding new favorites.
Well, give us your website.
It's www.whiskeylive.com.
And I just want to say that in the new edition of Whiskey Magazine, Robin, Gregor, Dave, and Ewan are the centerfold.
Oh.
So you should check that out.
With
it's a double, double gatefold. All right. So we got to go in a sec. Be sure to check out the list, areyouonit.com, spelled the way it sounds.